One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Red Men TV. I am Ross Chanley, joined today by Jack Gill, here to bring you the latest Liverpool news, rumours, and, of course, a little bit of bullshit as well. We've got loads of topics to get through today, as always. Get your comments and questions in the comments below. Tom will get them and he'll send them to me via WhatsApp, and we'll get to them at the end of the show. Jack, how are we?
Not too bad. I'm really missing football this morning. I had a dream last night of Henderson lifting number 19, so that's made it all a bit worse for me. But, you know, hopefully it's going to be back sooner rather than later. So
soon, mate, soon.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, we're going to start off with a piece. Jürgen Klopp, I don't know if anyone's seen this, maybe on socials, on Twitter, but Sky Sports News put out little clips of this interview. And I find myself, Jack, like every time I hear Jürgen Klopp in an interview or like just certain moments, I just hang on to every word that he says and just find myself kind of like almost daydreaming, just going, oh, okay, sounds like, you know, in a sensible way. But I've just taken some of the quotes and that I want to read. And he's talking about the relationship that he has with his players, and he compares it to his sons. He said, my players aren't my sons, but my sons are now turning 35 and 32, and it's pretty much exactly the same. There are moments when you're a father. There are moments when you see you are a friend. There are moments when you have to criticise them. These are things always exactly the same. I always did that with my players as well. We can have a really close relationship, and the closer the relationship you get, the more you have to tell the truth to the boys because they judge you on that. I explained it once, and I said it, I really want to be friends with my players, but I cannot be their best friend. That's how it is. As a friend, you have to tell the truth. A friend has to tell you what you can do better. A friend has to and will, always will tell you what is right and what is wrong. That's exactly what I do, but never in a manner that they can not get it up the next morning. It's always the same reason. I want to help them. I have no other job. My job is to help the boys to be the best player they can be, and there are a few things to do. And I just kind of, that part, couple of paragraphs just sums up the whole man. Like we all talk about is man management, and we don't really see him kind of off the field, but striking that balance of like, yeah, you know, he hugs all his players and he's the best mate, he does this, whatever. But at the same time, you know, he's still got to be strict, he's still got to lay down the law. He went on to talk about, you know, being with the players and just saying like, listen, like if you're not picked for a game, like don't talk to me before about the game when I tell you. If you've got an issue with it, talk to me after the game. It's like the 11 players, he's like, I'm the best mate, like, you know, for the 90 minutes. He said, and then I'm not, and there's other people he kind of ignores. But it just kind of, like I said, sums up how good he is at my management, Jack.
Yeah, we've always seen the fantastic relationship Klopp's had with the players, and you know, I think that interview again just proves it even more. You know, I focus on where he says about not being the finished article. You know, it's just things you want to hear, isn't it, from your gaffer? And we've spoke all through this lockdown about the team unity and the squad Zooms and stuff like that. And I think, again, this just shows how close-knit we all are as a team and as a squad of players and coaching staff. And, you know, I think we've really got something special here at Liverpool at the minute. And I think a lot of that reason is down to Jürgen Klopp and the way he focuses on his relationships with players and people in his staff. And that's not just his coaches, it's even the Melwood cooks, you know, yeah. how he wants people to have relationships with them. So I think it's just brilliant. And I think he is an outstanding manager.
There's no sense of like hierarchy or like I'm the big I am with him. He's kind of like just like a level playing field for everyone, isn't it? I think it's a good point to make, actually. If you want to read the full thing, it's out on the official club website. If you want to go and watch the video clips, they're on the Sky Sports News Twitter and probably on the YouTube as well at some point. Moving on to This Is Anfield, Jack. They've done a piece on Loris Karius, who's had a kind of a spat with Besiktas over the past couple of months of them not paying his wages and stuff like that. But apparently the long-standing wage dispute sees Loris Karius use his right to terminate contract at Besiktas. This is a report coming out of Turkey that he's parted his ways with Besiktas because of that two-year loan spell. I'll come on to the question in a minute, but Karius has gone to FIFA over his unpaid wages and termination of his contract. He said he wants us to pay him for 3 months he hasn't played. He wants to leave, and that's his decision. We don't want to make the undeserved payment. And then David Lynch has spoke about it in Liverpool. He said Liverpool will be willing to make up any shortfall in Karius's wages should he make an early return, but whether the club would have to pursue legal action against Besiktas over the breach of loan conditions remains to be unseen. This is such a bizarre situation, Jack, and, you know, I kind of quite like the fact that Liverpool, okay, we'll sort your wages out, but like the last thing Liverpool want at the minute, you know, currently with the stuff that's going on, but all the stuff, you know, with all the furlough stuff and the trying to trademark Liverpool, like, is another, and then like a New Balance stuff is like another court case over someone's wages, but also they've got to be dead, you know, tight with the money. You can't go, well, Karius hasn't played for us, so we're not going to pay his wages. But also from Karius' perspective, I kind of get that. And the ultimate question, which I'll ask the viewers now, and I know what the answer is going to be, but I just have to ask, is, you know, would you welcome him back? Because loads of people are pissed off with Adrian at the minute. Yeah, I'm not saying Karius is the answer. I'm not suggesting that. I personally don't want him back. But it's just a bit of a mad situation, isn't it, Jack?
Yeah, it's baffling. The whole situation with Karius has been somewhat confusing. I know in January or just at the end of January, obviously it came out that they'd agreed a fee, and it seems like we'd all finally seen the back of Karius for good, which, you know, for me, I think was the best thing for all parties. And then obviously this happens. It does seem like Besiktas have gone against his contract, and they've sort of seen it as, oh, it's a pay as you play contract. So he's not played for those 3 months, so he's not getting paid for it. Which, you know, if that's not what his contract says, then it's a bit ridiculous from the club. But maybe that says that they're going through some financial difficulties themselves. Who knows? Personally, I wouldn't welcome Karius back after what happened. I think being back playing for Liverpool is probably the last thing Loris Karius will want as well. And to be honest, I think it must be pretty bad for him wanting to come back to Liverpool rather than get first team minutes for Besiktas. Because I think he knows, obviously, his reputation has been massively damaged at Liverpool. And when he first left on loan, it was obviously quite well known that he was forcing his way out, and he didn't really want to stay at Liverpool after what happened. So, you know, I think it will be difficult from a fan's perspective to see him play again, and I think it'll be difficult from Karius's perspective to build that relationship back up with the amount of game time he'll get at the club.
It's also difficult from Liverpool's perspective as well, because something that we mentioned on the podcast on the main channel yesterday, go and watch that for a second because we had a good laugh, is the fact that, you know, you mentioned there, Jack, you know, people are being tight with the money and clubs that, you know, don't want to make transfers and stuff. It might be a case where, you know, no one can afford to buy Karius, or they haven't got the, you know, because of the delay in not playing football and TV rights money and revenue from ticket sales and merchandise and everything else that goes with football. You know, could be a situation where, sounds horrible, but we're stuck with Karius because no one can afford to take him. Besiktas don't want him. They're sending him back, and he's just there. And he, again, from his perspective, well, no one wants him for the mistakes that he's made. And you mentioned that reputation that he carries with. Who's going to want to pay for him?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing. I think everyone was sort of glad when obviously he was taken by Besiktas. I think after Kiev, everyone probably thought, where would he go? Who would want him after that? But, you know, that two-year loan was perfect for him. And then, obviously, he clearly impressed there. It was spoken about that he'd agreed a deal to go there permanently. So, you know, it's a difficult situation. But like you say, it is very possible now that we are stuck with Karius.
Yeah, maybe. Let's move on to some positive news, maybe. Liverpool are in the race for a £90 million pair as German club director makes transfer admission. Jürgen Klopp's side have been linked with two of Borussia Mönchengladbach's players ahead of the summer transfer window. Those two players are midfielder Dennis Zakaria and striker Marcus Thuram ahead of the summer transfer window. This is from the Metro site Sports Bild. Just yeah, this isn't the best link, but, you know, we'll go with it. But they're saying as Liverpool are battling out with arch rivals Manchester United for £45 million as Zachariah's signature, and the Reds are firmly in the race to land him, having given the courting the 23-year-old this term. It's also been claimed by The Express, which is the version of German version of The Express. Jürgen Klopp's side are also interested in Thuram, who cost no more than €50 million, so it's £43 to £44 million. Jack, Paul Joyce did an interesting piece on this yesterday about where Liverpool will stick or twist in a transfer windows, and we'll come on to the players in a second, but I find that interesting for some of the reasons that we spoke about with Loris Karius just then, of what people will do. I think Solskjaer's come out, and it's, Paul Joyce says this in his piece, has come out saying we're going to take advantage of it, but there's the shortfall to pay for and all this money that clubs are losing on, and I think Liverpool are in a really good position in the sense of, you know, they don't, and Paul Joyce says this, they don't necessarily have to go out and spend, because we're the leaders, you know, we're the best club in the world, you know, one of the best clubs in Europe, and, you know, the best club in England currently as it stands. You know, people need to catch up with us, so we're not desperate to go and do that. I think it depends on the outgoings, if anyone does end up leaving, because it's such an unprecedented time and we don't know what's going on. I don't think there's any pressure on Liverpool to go and buy players in the transfer window, whenever that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a team like Manchester United at the minute need those transfers. They need to get more world-class players, because at the minute, if they get a couple of injuries, their squad's very thin of world-class talents. Whereas we've seen in this Liverpool squad at the minute, we have a lot of world-class players in that squad, and it's continued to get better and better throughout the season with youth talents coming through as well, like Neco Williams, Curtis Jones, I think have been outstanding when they've been given their opportunity in the first team. We've got Harvey Elliott as well, that's getting older, but still very young at 17 and still has a lot to learn, but I'm expecting him to be with the first team more next season. So, you know, we're in a situation where we really don't need to go out and buy players.
Those youth players that you spoke about there, Jack, you know, Harvey Elliott, Neco Williams, Curtis Jones, and Brewster, which we spoke about yesterday, like, you know, he's supposed to go out on loan. There's an argument to be said that those younger players, you know, Liverpool had won the title, you know, with the two games that we had left. You know, there's what, 8 to 10 games left in the Premier League, maybe a little bit less, where they would have got more game time.
Absolutely.
So they're not going to get that now, I don't think.
Absolutely. And that's the issue. And you know, it's there's so many problems with this. And me and James have done videos on Redmen Academy about the different effects on footballers that this will cause. And that's one of the things, you know, for young players, we spoke about Chelsea and Billy Gilmore. He was just starting to get first team minutes. He was starting to push his way through at Chelsea, getting regular first team football. You know, they had a lot of injuries, which gave him his opportunity. And then all of a sudden this happens. And you know, it's very difficult because it started to cement his place in the first team, but it couldn't happen. And that's very much Curtis Jones. It's like people are asking for the season to be voided, some people.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
People like Curtis Jones have had excellent individual seasons. They've had their breakthrough season, and, you know, to take that away from them is just awful. So, you know, it's one of them situations where we don't need to go out and sign players, but, you know, for example, I think Zachariah would be a good signing for us personally, but with the money being touted for these two players, I don't see them as Liverpool signings right now, especially with everything going on in the world.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, isn't it? Speaking of transfers, this is from Sky Sports News, which I put in here for a laugh because I saw it and thought, this is utter bullshit. Philip Coutinho, Chelsea offered chance to sign Brazilian by Barcelona. Chelsea are one of the clubs that have been offered the chance to sign Philip Coutinho from Barcelona, currently owned by Munich, blah, blah, blah. Coutinho moved £145 million. And that's basically the story. I find it funny, Jack. And I don't know if Tom's got the screenshot of this, but it's basically there's the story and then there's basically Sky Bet underneath. And for like, so the amount of people that just go Sky Sports and Sky Sources and see it for the gospel of what it is, like if there's actual transfer news, you'll find it on Twitter an hour, 2 hours, sometimes days before they manage to get hold of it. And they've gone, I've maybe things clear about Sky Sports of having a news outlet and a betting company. I think it's bang out of order. But just like, even if the thought of like Barcelona just went, tell you what, lads, do you want Coutinho? And it to be fucking news just seems stupid to me. Like, why would they go, oh, Chelsea, they've singled us out. They want us to have Coutinho and nobody else. I know it's just one of the clubs, but why would they do that? Like, if someone wants Coutinho, they'll go out and buy him, or they'll ask about interest, or like, you know, things will happen behind the scenes before it gets to this stage.
I think there's a lot of slow news at the minute. I think.
Well, worse because we're talking about it.
and that's the thing. I think with Philip Coutinho, there's always going to be speculation. You know, Barcelona clearly don't want him at the minute. He was clearly very, very good in the Premier League. There's going to be a lot of clubs that want Philip Coutinho, and Barcelona seem pretty desperate to offload him because they seem pretty keen on not paying that full fee for him at the minute. So, you know, they're desperate to get rid of him. But at the end of the day, it's like you say, I think Sky Bet are probably struggling with the fact that nobody wants to bet on their esports at the minute. So they'll bring this up. And you know, I saw Everton in the article as well. So probably there'll be a lot of people that go, oh, let's stick a few quid on him joining Everton. But, you know, like you say,
they're about to get taken over. So
what's
funny in there? Let's move on just dead quickly. This is something that happened yesterday, the day before, actually. Mesut Ozil, one of three Arsenal players to reject the club's 12.5% pay cut. Mesut Ozil earns £350,000 a week, is one of three Arsenal players to reject the pay cut. I'm not going to go into the story or kind of read it, because you can get the gist of it from the title, basically, Jack. But this has just caused a massive storm across the news and internet the past couple of days. And I've kind of seen it from both sides. And people kind of immediately go, well, he's on that amount of money, he's not taking the wage cut. From my perspective, it's like if all his teammates or majority of his teammates and staff have done it, I believe he should do it. But there's also the perspective, I think you said before we started recording, even though he donates loads of money already, and we see this with other footballers, because we're not aware of it, doesn't mean that they don't do it. You know, for someone who earns such amount of money, you know, he's supported, you know, hospitals and schools, and not just in his own country, but across the world. You know, he does give his money back. But I think, you know, this is all part of, maybe it's the political sense of, you know, the Matt Hancock stuff of saying, well, footballers need to go and do more. We've all fallen for that. Well, you're on a shitload of money, you give your money, but there's two sides to it, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's difficult because I've said throughout this, obviously with Matt Hancock and trying to keep political views out of this and whatnot. But when he came out and said that, I think besides it being absolutely ridiculous, I think the players had a point. You know, they want the money to go to a good cause rather than to greedy club owners who don't need the money. And, you know, when it comes to taking a pay cut like this, I think maybe Mesut Ozil wants his money to go elsewhere. Maybe he wants to decide where a proportion of his wage goes, whether it's to charity or to where. And, you know, I told you before, there's a few Arsenal fans that I follow on Twitter who are quite annoyed with Piers Morgan's stance where, you know, at first when I saw this,
people annoyed with Piers Morgan. That doesn't sound right.
The thing is, when I first saw this, the way it was worded was awful. So, as you say, £350k a week, he's refused a pay cut. 12.5%. There you go. It sounds bad. But when you think about it, and when these people talk about how much he already has been donating to different charities and stuff, then maybe people can start to understand it a bit more. We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know why. We know that he's come out and said that he will see how the situation unfolds, which again makes it sound worse. So, you know, I think it's one of them where it's important to wait until we hear from Ozil himself. Maybe he'll take a U-turn. We don't know. But I can understand why he's getting a lot of criticism. But also at the same time, it's important to understand throughout all of this that footballers are individually also working and doing their own things with different charities and helping in their own ways.
Yeah. On to some of your comments. And just quickly before we do, I mentioned the podcast that recorded yesterday. It's free on YouTube. All our stuff is available on Spotify, iTunes, other podcast players. So if you don't want to look at our faces, but you don't mind hearing our voices, you're sat in the garden today, it's nice and sunny, you want something to listen to, go and listen to that. It's a full hour. We've got loads of other stuff coming out on the website as well. There's interviews with Jimmy Torrey, Luis Enrique that are out on the main Redman channel. Paul spoke to James Pearce yesterday about the Being Liverpool stuff. We're going to do a watch along with Being Liverpool soon as well. Paul spoke to Martin Kelly this morning as well. And we've got some other boss interviews coming up over the next couple of weeks. So you want to go and try out the website. It's £5 a month. Just come and see if you like it. And, you know, hopefully we'll get you through this lockdown. And we'll see where we're at. Hopefully the season starts. We've got even more content for you. On to the comments. Stephen Somerville on Klopp. Love what Klopp is saying there. Clearly he's not saying to everyone, we are not over being a great team, but in coming years to come, great words from the great man. Linda Stanley says, we are so blessed to have Klopp, fits us like a glove. I think I agree with both of those. Owen Jones on Karius. If Karius wants to be a backup keeper, I'll take him. He was brilliant the whole of his last season, apart from obviously the Champions League final. I can't say that's something that I agree with. And I think there's also, and I know things get blown up out of proportion. I know he's made mistakes at Besiktas as well. But the thing for me, Jack, is, you know, that might be good. And, you know, I think sometimes we're ignorant that players can develop and players can go and get better. But for me, as soon as his name's on the team sheet, you know, if we get, you know, get back to Anfield and stuff like that, mentally, I think the fans will go. And as soon as he comes back on the pitch, I know he'll get applauded and he'll do that. But as soon as he got his ball at his feet, the best, one of the best things about Alisson now is, like, I know he's dangerously close sometimes, like, and he's cost him once. But as soon as Carrick's got the ball at his feet, like, arses on the side are just going to go, because it's that mentality for the, and his teammates as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen with Karius a lot. He's very much, his game is based on his mentality. When he's in a good frame of mind, he can be a very good goalkeeper. But we saw in Kiev, he just completely fell apart. And there's been moments in Karius' career as well when he's having a bad game and there's just absolutely nothing he can do right during that game.
Take the Alisson stuff when he made a mistake. Was it Huddersfield or Brighton, or was it Leicester? Someone plays in blue. Anyway, but he made that mistake, didn't he? And then afterwards, even like us as fans, like, okay, Sam, he's not gonna fucking do that again. And he didn't, because he's got that mentality. Whereas the comparison to Karius is like, well, he's gone now. Could concede four here. European road. Go on. Sorry.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I think it's one of them where he's. Don't get me wrong. He can be a very good goalkeeper. Yes. But I think we've moved on from Loris Karius, and I think Loris Karius should probably move on from us.
Yeah, European royalty says rather have Lonergan than playing Karius. Don't worry, near our club. Yeah, might agree with that. You know, Liverpool, you never walk alone. Gladbach players, get them both. They're both quality. They're from the Bundesliga. I'll trust in Klopp to sign. Both look good in their positions. Dave, LFC chats. Hello, Dave. Says we just need Werner and to keep Genie. I think I'd be pretty happy with that, to be honest with Jack. I think everything we spoke about before with the youth players, you know, Genie staying in the team of Werner coming in, that kind of plugs holes for now. But my other concern is, like, if we go into the rest of this season and that gets, you know, crammed into a small space, then we have a small break, then we have next season, then we have all the Euros and the AFCON and all that stuff, like, players are going to be fucking knackered, aren't they?
That's the thing. I think it's very difficult, because I've had a few arguments with my non-Liverpool mates about this as well, where it's like, how are you expecting to sign Werner without selling one of your front three? And you're like, actually, with AFCON and with all the competitions that we play these days, and everyone moaned at Klopp for paying all the kids and blah, 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 we need, you know, lots of rotation. Look at Manchester City, who have an unbelievable Man City. So there you go.
So you look at football next season, so we need a bigger squad, mate.
It's one of them situations where I think Curtis Jones, you look at Lallana going out, Curtis Jones, I think, is already better now than Lallana is right now. Obviously, I know Lallana has his experience and everything that's obviously important to the squad. But I think in terms of player for player right now, I think Curtis Jones is better ability and will offer us more as a team. So I think you've got that, him coming through as well, and Werner coming in, I think would be an excellent addition to the squad. I think Genie is one of the most important things of this summer. And, you know, I've spoke before about how done is for our midfield. And, you know, I think in previous summers, we've done very good things of actually, we may not have made key signings, but actually what we've done is tie the front three down to long-term contracts. And I think tying Genie down this summer will be an absolute massive thing for the club.
Cool, right, there we go. We're going to leave you there. Get us a little of your thoughts in the comments below and I'll get to them later. As I said, check out the website, check out the Spotify, Redman's a whole backlog of interviews and just us chatting Biff, really. But you need something to get through lockdown. Go and check that out. We'll be back tomorrow with a social wrap and then Friday for another live news. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you soon.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.